Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome one and all to More Insight, Grand Rising unto you. We thank you for joining us tonight. I'm your host, Angela D. We thank God for each and every one of you. We thank God for his words, his wisdom, his understanding, and truth. Hallelujah. We like to thank you for joining. This is Sister Girl Network Inc. platform, More Insight. And so we have been talking about spiritually minded is life and peace. Now this is part two. And so I would encourage you to get something to write with, write on a piece of paper or your journal or something to take notes with. As I discussed it last week, that Romans 8, 6 through 8 was the foundational scripture for this topic. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is empathy against God, an enemy against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Romans 8, 6 through 8. We thank God for his word. So as we allow the Holy Spirit to take us for a more understanding, wisdom, and knowledge in this subject, because this is a part of our lives as children of God, as kingdom, as God's chosen people, the royal priesthood, a holy nation, procured people. This is part of our lives. And so we must have the knowledge, all the knowledge, the understanding and the wisdom to see our victory, to pass on from generation to generation, to strengthen faith in those that are connected to us through our life. Let us acknowledge our Father. Hallelujah. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you, we honor, and we praise you. Lord, we give you all praise, because wonderful is your name. Lord, we thank you, we honor, and we praise you, not because of what you do, but because of who you are. For you are Alpha and Omega. You are the first and the last. You are our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. And Father, we thank you. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we ask that you cleanse our hearts and renew our right spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, Father, I ask that you heal the broken in heart and bind up the wounds in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord, I ask that you send forth your war angels upon each and every one of us. Hallelujah. In our atmosphere, on the technology, in the name of Jesus, I decree and declare that no weapon formed against us shall prosper, and every tongue that rises in judgment will be shut down through our Lord Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus. I bind up distractions, hallelujah, confusion, in the name of Jesus. I decree and declare that every word that go forth will plant a seed to stir up the thirst and hunger in every ear, in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Welcome to More Insight. I'm your host, Angela D. Tonight, we are on part two. Spiritually minded is life and peace. To join the conversation, you can dial in at 516-595-8307, or you can link in at blogtalkradio.com/more insight. And so some things are worth repeating, right? Like, sometimes we don't like to hear things over and over. It's like, you know, we say, oh, I'm tired of hearing that. But reality is that's how we learn. We learn through repetition, right? Hearing things over and over. So sometimes it's good to repeat. And so last week, I talked about the two paths. And Proverbs 4 talks about that. We have a path of wisdom. And then we have a path of wicked. And then Jesus described it another way in Matthew 7. He says, one leads to destruction and the other leads to life. And so when we read the word of God talking about our paths, our two paths, we get to choose. When we read it, we get an understanding that there's no in-between. There's no in-between. I said that last week, and as I just said, some things, they are worth hearing over and over, because sometimes this is where we have to get in our journey and our understanding one another. Is that sometimes the light bulb don't go off quick with you, and then it might not go off quick with me, right? You might get it before I get it. That's how it works sometimes, right? And so when we constantly hearing things in repetition, being repeated over and over, then that one day when the Holy Spirit allows you to be still enough to hear what is being said, to touch you in such a way where for real you might say something like, oh, now I get it. And so I say all that to say, don't be quick to discard something because it feels like they are repeating it over and over and over. Remember your childhood and your learning. That's how we learn, repetition. Over and over. Even the word of God tells us that the word of God in our hearing is how it get planted in us, hearing it over and over and over and over. We thank God for the Holy Spirit, for the Spirit strengthens us. We are led by the Spirit, sealed by the Spirit, and have the Spirit as a earnest and bear the fruit of the Spirit. And bear the fruit of the Spirit. We cannot do any of this without the Holy Spirit. And that's why we must become knowledgeable about this part of our journey. Because this part of our journey prosper our soul. This part of our journey allow us to go through the transformation by the renewing of our mind. When we embrace this part, right, what did I say last week? That some of us, when we gave our life to Christ, born again in the Spirit, we thought that was it. But for real, that was only the beginning. And some of us get that right away, but then the light don't go off quickly with some of us, right? Some it goes off quick and some it does not. And so we have to participate in this part. Being spiritually minded help us to be free from dwelling sin, from sin just dwelling within us, right? When we are spiritually minded, we become convicted in certain things. We're no longer comfortable in participating in sin. We all sin, but then there's a difference where we participating in it. We're willing to do it, you know. So there is a difference. And so tonight, let's talk about it. Get your pens and your paper. Get your journal. You know, as I give you different scriptures, you go back and read in your own time, you know, in your reading, and allow the Holy Spirit to give you even more revelation. And so tonight, let's talk about strongholds versus strong man. Now, when we look at strongholds, strongholds are, they built up in our mind as nothing but deception and lies that we accept now. Now, we know, we hear, straight up, someone would tell you, what is strongholds? Nothing but a bunch of lies and deception, right? But then we have to add this part that we agree and accept in our mind. Strongholds are built upon deception and lies that we accept and agree in our mind. A stronghold. Then what is the strong man? Now in the Bible referred to a strong man as Satan, the devil, demonic. The Bible describes a strong man, devil, demonic. So we're going to talk about it. The stronghold versus strong man. And then we're going to talk about possession versus affected. Now us in Christ, right? Every last one of us that are in the kingdom, we have heard it one time or another during our journey that as Christians, we cannot be possessed by demons. Oh, my gracious. You know, that's the old okey-doke, because if we're not doing right, oh, yes. If we're touching and agreeing certain things, oh, yes, oh, yes. But we can definitely be affected regardless, right? So that's why we have to know the difference. So possession is to have complete power over someone. When you are possessed, they have complete power over you, right? Versus affected. That means you are influenced or touched by an exterior factor. Exterior factor. So that's the difference. Possession, to have complete power over someone. Versus affected, influenced, or touched by exterior. See, the Holy Spirit does keep evil from possessing us that are in Christ. And see, what we fail to realize is we have to stay connected to the Holy Spirit, right? We have to walk in truth about certain things that we're touching, certain things that we are agreeing with, right? We have to know the weapons of warfare. We have to even know our enemy, right? We have to know our enemy. When we're in war, even when we look in war, in the natural, right? They look at tapes, they do backgrounds and reports and studies on their enemy, excuse me, to learn their strategies and their tactics, and that's the same with us. We are told, do not be ignorant to Satan's devices, right? So we must know, our enemy. And so we have to stay active in our journey, right? We have to stay active in our journey where our journey becomes our life. It's no longer a chore. Even walking in truth with that, right? For me personally, my journey never seemed a chore to me, because for real, once I surrender, my journey changed, right? I had a thirst and a hunger. I surrender unto the Holy Spirit. So I surrender my will. It's no longer thinking of what I do, what I want to do. It was all in pleasing unto the Father, thirsting and hungering after righteousness, wanting to know God, wanted to know his word, wanted to know what he had for me, wanted to hear his voice, wanted him to have a personal, intimate relationship with him. But that wasn't the case at the beginning for me, but it was never a chore, though. I was once hooked in, you know, I first saw, yes, I had gave my life to Christ, born again, spirit, but I still wasn't all the way in. There was no surrender. You know, I went through the routines. I did the Bible study and all this and all that, you know. And when I think about my journey, with certain times in my life that only God knew how to pull me closer, pull me in. But see, that's my journey. Some might feel like it's a chore because of worrying about appearance of, or I'm doing it only in pleasing to man, right? See, that's why Apostle Paul tells us don't get caught up in appearance of. We cannot get caught because that's bondage there, worrying about what someone's thinking of you and how it appears. It pulls you from walking in truth and more so walking in pleasing man. So we have to be careful with that. And so there's a lot of ways where we can give the enemy a foot up, right? The word of God says, do not give the enemy a foot up on you, right? That means we should always be praying and watching. But then we can get lax. We can get comfortable. We can compromise. Things can become a chore. That's why our journey has to be true, right? We're doing it because this is our heart desire, right? We're not going in this journey because of pleasing man or because of parents, but we're doing it for self because this is the life we chose. And so we have to stay active. We have to participate as kingdom. And even with that, it keeps us from being possessed, but we can still be affected. Even when there's a lack of knowledge, we can be possessed or affected. Lack of knowledge because we're touching and making agreements. Why do I constantly repeat that? Because I'm going ahead a little bit because that's the end of verse, scripture I'm going to give you, Hosanna 4:6, right? I'm moving a little quicker with that. But see, that scripture is so significant. It's so essential to our life because we are told that we are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And so that's why I always talk about the touching and making agreements. Because sometimes we do those things, we touch things and we make agreement because we don't know. But you are held accountable to know. The word of God even tells you to study to show yourself approved. The word of God tells you that the Bible is a two-edged sword. You need that word. You need that word planted in you. You need that word because when you say, yes, Lord, come into my heart, when you chose the kingdom of God, you put every demon, you put Satan's kingdom on notice of who you were and who you were going to serve. So now you are a part of a war, whether you participate, you're part of this war. And so that's why I always talk about touching and making agreements. Because a lack of knowledge, that can happen. God said, you have not because you ask not. If you feel you don't have wisdom, then you must ask for it. If you feel you don't have the understanding, then you ask for it. Ask with pure heart. Going to the throne, asking the Father. Sometimes in our prayer, you know, and as we mature, we understand that our prayer life is not always about getting things, right? We're on the wall for our generation and generation to come. We're on the wall for divine understanding, a divine help. We're on the wall for our neighbors. We're on the wall for this world, this nation, asking God to save all that can be saved, asking God to keep his warring angels around us for what's come. Are you feeling the urgency, the air and the atmosphere? You might can't put a name on it, but are you feeling that? It's an urgency going on that we must line up and become who God called us to be. And I'm talking about, when I say call us to be, I ain't talking about as far as evangelism and all that. I'm talking about as kingdom, calling us as his sons and daughters. He sent his one and only begotten son, right? He gave us the Holy Spirit, our helper, our comfort. And the Holy Spirit, what did I say last week? The Holy Spirit is what God gave us to bind up darkness here on earth. And so that's how we can be victorious, not just for us, but for our children, for our family, for our neighbors, for our friends, for our brothers and our sisters in Christ. Even being around people, your light, the light of the Holy Spirit convict them. Convict them. It convict you, you know. Convict you when you got caught up in your flesh. Something happened, you got caught up in your flesh, you get convicted. Forgive me. Or you got to call somebody and say, oh, I apologize for saying that. I didn't want to, you know, crush your spirit or, you know, make you feel a certain way, you know. So that's what the Holy Spirit do. The spirit of truth is what the Holy Spirit is. And so that's why we must understand possession versus effective, right? We have things to do to keep from being possessed, right? Now, we know, long as the Holy Spirit is dwelling within us, long as we're doing what we need to do, but we can still be affected, right? That's the thing. We still can be affected by them demons, Satan kingdom. So then we have instructions. Cast down imagination and every high thing that exhausts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. It is our mind. It is the mind that the war, it starts in our mind, right? We have to bring those thoughts into captivity. And when we look at that scripture is 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, telling us to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. It says every high thing. See, when we start growing spiritually, right? When the hidden treasures are revealed through the word of God, as we go and we thirst and hunger and we get into the word, and certain words, the Holy Spirit will allow to pop up at you, right? Same words you might have been reading for 10 years, same scripture. You know, heard it from the pulpit. You know, heard it in Bible study. But this particular time when you read it, that certain word, boom, it pops at you, right? That's what I was talking about there earlier when I say the light bulb go off, right? But it took you reading it over and over, right? Because as you was reading that word over and over and over, there was a change going on. Oh, from the inside out. It was a transformation going on in your mind that allow it to be clear enough for when the word came forth and the Holy Spirit took that certain word to pull at you, it clicked. And so when we look at 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, and it says every high thing. See, it's already telling you. Spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, right? is already telling you every high thing that exhorts itself against the knowledge of God, already letting you know it's going to come against the knowledge of God. That's what Satan doing now. That's the times we're living in now. What Timothy talks about, calling wrong, right, and right, wrong. Want us to compromise, want us to agree. No, no, the devil's a lie. Let me say this. Roman 1, verse 18 to 32. Romans 1, verse 18 to 32. It talks about God's wrath on unrighteousness. Okay? You can read it in your time of reading. Verse 1:18-32, God's wrath on unrighteousness. For I surrender. It had been some years. I never thought, I always thought the life with Christ was rough. It was hard. Oh, I can't do it. I can't do all that. That's too much. Well. But I'm here to tell you that's not the case. When you have your personal relationship with God and you allow the Holy Spirit to cleanse you, to read you, to guide you. You realize that this journey is to be taken with the Holy Spirit, not alone. You realize that's when it start becoming rough, right? That's when it become a chore. That's when it become a worsening, and because you're trying to do things in your own flesh. See, it's only through the Holy Spirit. It's only through the Holy Spirit that we can line up and war spiritually for our kingdom, for our family, for our children and children and children, for our neighbors, for the nation, every day, all day, if that's the case. Through the Holy Spirit. And that's why as we go deeper with this topic, spiritually minded is life and peace, we must talk about the religious spirit. We have to bring that forth. The familiar spirits, we have to bring that forth. But let me read this. Now, I gave you Romans 1:18-32, and it talks about God's wrath on unrighteousness. But 21, it says, although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. This is the word telling you. That's why I'm talking about possessed versus affected. See, it's unrighteousness that allow you to become possessed. Those strongholds become strong men, and they become demonic, right? Unrighteousness. Talking about truth, not my truth, your truth, or nowhere in between. We're talking about the spirit of truth. This is the word. So in your reading, read Romans 1:18-32. You know, Romans is a book I really like. It talks about the spirit, a lot of different things. You know, that's one of the books. In Romans, I think it's Romans 8, talk about how the Holy Spirit intercede for us. But the whole, all of Romans, in your time of reading, read all of Romans. I can remember some years ago when Apostle Logan, the Lord had gave her, because we read through the Bible on Wednesdays anyway, right? But this particular time, the Lord had told her to have us read Romans 8, right? Then by this time, I've been serving God, you know, a little while. Now, and I read Romans plenty of times. But this is what I was talking about when I talk about a repetition, right? This is what I'm talking about, right? Don't get caught up. Don't get duped. Don't get fooled by the world and talking about, ain't nobody want to hear that over and over and over. Now, that's from the enemy. That's from the enemy, because that's how we learn. That's how things become planted. The seeds are planted, right? And so during that time we read Romans, I mean, that time I was so grateful, because, I mean, my light bulb was like, bing, 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 bing. Thank you, Lord. And so I say that from experience and knowing that to be true, that, you know, it's like when you're ready and God know you ready. That's why we can't judge ourselves with one another, compare ourselves with one another, because when it's your time and you're ready for real, that light bulb go off. Oh, my goodness. It's like, wow, wow, now I get it, right? So in your reading, read Romans, all of Romans, right? But that right there, Romans 1, 18 to 32, it talks about God's wrath on unrighteousness. You know, sometimes we don't want to talk about those things. Let me tell you something. You know, kingdom of God is about abundance life, a good life, right? It's about having joy in the midst of the craziness. It ain't about saying we're going to have craziness. We're not going to have to deal with it. But the abundance life to have a father that loves you so much, that sent his one and only begotten son to save you. And not only that, leave you with a helper and a comforter, where you don't have to even walk this life alone, right? This is the life that we're supposed to be showing out. Not compromising to the world, because the world do it, we doing it, cause we want to play good faith, or because we want to make it seem like it's not tough, we got it easy over here with God. That's not how you do it. Compromising. That's why Romans 12, I kept talking about Romans 12 last week, because that scripture right there, I remember when that scripture, I had heard it from the pulpit, Bible study, but when the light bulb went off, do not be conformed to this world. How can you? See, you don't have to walk in a fivefold ministry to save a soul, to minister. When you was born again, you became a disciple of the Father. And it is your life that so shine before men. And so we should not be compromising, trying to make the world feel good, like what they doing is right. Oh, that's not who we are. No, when we look at the word imagination, is the ability to form a mental image or something not present to the senses, right? But one of my, you know, I was giving, I'm going to share this too, but, you know, one of the sister girls asked me recently, right? And I never thought about this. And she said, who you had walking with you? Who was the people you had walking with you? And I think she asked me, how many was it or something? And it wasn't until she asked me that I realized. And I said, it was three of them. And I said, one of them still here. And the other one, they there in spirit. And when I said it to her, it was like, wow, I never thought about that. But one of them, in me being under her, she used to always tell me, a good way to understand a meaning of a word is to look at the opposite of the word, right? And I have learned that to be true. And so the opposite of imagination is truth, facts, reality, concrete. And that's only to name a few. Did I go all the way around just to share that? I had to share that because that little nugget there has really helped me in my journey. She said, to truly understand what a word means is to look at what's the opposite of that word. And I'm sharing that with you all tonight because I'm telling you that nugget, it helps. It really helps. Okay, so the opposite of imagination. So we say imagination is the ability to form a mental image of something not present to the senses. And then the opposite of that is truth, concrete, fact, existence, right? Okay, so let's choose one stronghold tonight. I'm choosing rejection. I'm choosing rejection because rejection was a serious stronghold for me. For I was rejected from the womb. And so, see, that's a deep pain. And so the stronghold is rejection, right? Rejection is the sense of being unwanted. And that is such a haughty spirit, right? So when it starts off, right, it puts thoughts in our head. Us just being rejected, right? It's put thoughts in our head, right? Which these are the lies and the deception, right? This is the stronghold. This is how it starts. Rejection, right? And so we start thinking that we are not good enough or something must be wrong with us. Or we have a, excuse me, let me just drink something. Thank you. Okay, so the strongholds is rejection, right? Okay, so I'm going to repeat. Rejection is the sense of being unwanted. I chose rejection because I can remember, now I was rejected from the womb, born in one family, raised by another. So I was rejected in the womb. But I chose this particular spirit is because it's not talked about enough, right? And those that are dealing with it are in, with rejection, feeling a certain way, not talk about it, you isolate yourself, and when you isolate yourself, the enemy have a field day because he needs us to feel like we're alone, to be alone, right? And so that's why I chose this. Okay, so thing happened when we are being rejected is that the lies and the deception comes to our thoughts, right? And so we think that we're not good enough or something must be wrong with us. We have a problem, and one of the biggest things is we think no one loves us, right? And so those are the lies that the enemy send with this spirit here, okay? And so now it's a stronghold, the lies, because what did we say a stronghold was? It was a built upon deception and lies that we accept and agree in our mind. Okay, so when we're having those thoughts, we have to cast down the imagination, the every high thing that exhorts itself against the knowledge of Christ, right? Because the word of God tells us that we workmanship. We is a work of art. We is his masterpiece, right? This is what we must understand when we deal with rejection, and this is the first one we're going to deal with. When we're dealing with rejection, right, our feelings become hurt. See, that's why this spirit becomes so demonic within us when we do not war against it, right? There's no condemnation spirit in those that are in Christ. So when we hear those voices, when we hear those thoughts, when we think those thoughts that condemn us, we know that's from the enemy. And see, that's why we cannot separate ourselves from one another. And so we have to bring the word, you know, because even now I have to deal when we have been healed and delivered from certain things, right? Unforgiveness, rejection, and all. In our journey, we will be tested again, right? We will be tested in that, either by the enemy or God, to see where our heart is at. Because the heart can be deceitful, right? Right? And so even the enemy. And so as we grow and we become healed and delivered from this, there's strategies that are given to us through the word of God with this. We know when we are rejected by someone, right? For whatever reason, right? The enemy can use someone to reject you because it's trying to steal, kill, and destroy, to bring deep hurt, to bring insecurities, to bring anger and bitterness, to make you even walk in the fear of rejection, right? To bring bring depression, haughtiness, and sadness, right? That's why we got to speak against those thoughts. And so how do we war against those thoughts? Do not allow the strong man, because see, when we do not bind up those thoughts that we're not good enough, be wrong with us, we have a problem, or no one loves us, then we start agreeing with them, right? See, in our agreement, we might not be saying, oh yeah, I agree with that, I'm not no good. It's our actions, right? We might think it, but then we start operating in that. So we're agreeing. So as we agree with it, we're giving the strong man permission, right? Because see, none of those spirits can party alone. You remember I used to say, for those of you who have been on the call before, I used to always say this. I used to say that those spirits, they don't hang out alone. It's like the bully in the gang. Got to have some other ones around with them because that strengthens them. You know how the bully in the gang on the outside cheering them on. Woo, 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 yeah, go for it. Do it, do it, do it. You know, that's the same with these spirits. So we start with rejection. And when we don't take our weapons of warfare and bind those thoughts up, and we start agreeing, making agreement with these things, with these lies and deception, then we open the door for the strong man to come in. Then when the strong man comes in with rejection, the strong man is what? The strong man is the anger. The strong man is the insecurity. The strong man is the bitterness. The strong man is the hatred, sadness, depression. It all comes together. But now you got a strong man there. Okay? So now everything, they all come together. They all come together. And now you bound. Now it's your soul. See, the strong man becomes the leader. And now your soul bound up, being tormented by the spirit of rejection. But God said that you are a hypocrite. That means that you are a work of art. And see, even when we can tell when we they're attacked, truly, we always under attack, different little things. But I'm talking about when there are witchcraft going on or certain things. The first thing is that your prayer life in the word is, it becomes a chore. You know, you don't want to deal with it. You don't want to do it. You know, that's the last thing on your mind, because that's such a weapon. That's such a weapon. Because when you start speaking the word of God against that rejection, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. When you speak the word of God, that rejection, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. See, when we start speaking the word of God in existence, it shifts. Things shift within us, in our atmosphere. And see, I have heard brothers and sisters said, you know, I couldn't even pray for myself. That's why we have one another, right? Because I can't say what your warfare will be.
Excuse me.
I can't say what you're contending with, but what you shared with me, we can pray about it, read the word, fast. See, sometimes we have to just fast, right? And as we fast and spiritually fasting to be closer to the Father to get answers, rather, and it has to be answers from the Father and His will, not your will. We know what we want, but what we want all the time might not be good for us, right? Because we don't know what's coming an hour, 2 hours later, days, months, years. Only God knows. And so His will for that prayer might be different than what you prayed for, but it's better for you, right? That's where we have to get in our life. That's where we have to grow to, mature to. Let your will be done, Father, right? And so we have to, even in those times when we don't feel like we can pray for ourselves, right? When we feel like we just don't have the strength, I'm wore out, I'm tired. See, that's when you have to be willing to reach out in kingdom to another brother and sister to stand on the wall with you to pray about. That's why we can't walk around and talk about, I don't want to tell nobody my business. When for real, you have no business, okay? Your life is more of an open book than you even realize. I don't care how many times you go into your phone and thinking you're going to knock down some privacy and all that stuff. And majority of us don't turn our phone off enough. See how comfortable convenience is going to be the downfall of many of us, right? Everything convenient. They know that easy, quick, fast. That's not even the way of the world. I mean, of kingdom. That's the world. Kingdom, we don't roll like that. Quick, fast, hurry. Nah. Because that's not even part of the fruit of the Spirit. That means you're not operating in the fruit of the Spirit, because the fruit of the Spirit has patience. It's not normal patience, because it's divine patience from the Father. So ain't no quick, hurry. That's not our life. So even when we are operating like that, we have to take a deep breath. And even speak words. I will be anxious for nothing and pray about everything with prayer and supplication. Thanksgiving, making my request known unto the Father. But before I go next, that's my point. See, any one of us can be in that downtrodden time where we don't feel like we can pray for ourselves, or we don't feel like we can do all this and all that, and you got to reach out. You can't walk into shame, because, see, that's the warfare that's going on in your life, that the enemy trying to make you give up or give in. And you don't have to do it alone. See, we have to learn that in our own effort, we can't do it. Oh, we can't do it. the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. Even Romans, when we look at Romans 8:28, and it tells us how God would take bad, turn it for our good, for those who are called by him, right? His chosen people, his holy nation. He would turn it around for the good. But see, that's the thing is, during that time, right, when we're dealing with the bad, right, and things have stirred up, that's the time we got to pull our weapons. We got to really walk in spiritual authority. Spiritual authority through the Holy Spirit. Because the kingdom of Satan needs us to give up or give in. It needs us to be ignorant to our devices, our knowledge. It needs us to have lack of knowledge. It needs us to isolate ourselves. It needs us not to pray, not to get into the word. There's hidden treasures for us in the word of God. There's hidden treasures for us in the word of God. And so we had those word, you know, I was rejected a couple months ago. Something happened, and I felt that spirit of rejection. And automatically, I bind it up. But in me binding up, I said, Lord, have mercy on their soul. So I started praying for that person's soul, right? Because then I started seeing other spirits that was attached to all that, right? But that spirit was coming at me hard, right? But see, that's my point to all of it. I'm giggling at it now, but in experiencing it, it can catch you off guard, because that's a harsh spirit. Oh, my goodness, that's a harsh spirit. Because that spirit will isolate a soul quick. It will isolate you quick. That soul takes your, that spirit of ejection take your soul and have your emotions on 10,000. You might can't even stop crying because of it. And even in that, you got to speak some word. Even in that. You got to remember that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the principality. See, so even if you sin, the spirit of rejection coming off your mother or your father or your sister or your brother or your aunt or your uncle or your children or your boss, even though you see that coming off of them, that's the flesh and blood that you're looking at, but then you got to start warning against that, bringing some word in, right? Because that's how the enemy works. It wants you to attack the flesh and blood, but no, you go and attack the spiritual wickedness that like we don't like to call things evil. Oh, that's messed up. That's evil, right? We got to call it for what it is. He said, who are you? Legion, for we are many. You got to put a name to it, to bind it, and to loose it. It needs a name. So we cannot tippy-toe it and try to play good faith. Oh, no, I better not say nothing. Remember when the Holy Spirit gave us niceness versus kindness? There's no walking in niceness. God said kindness is deeper. It's different. It's a compassion and love with kindness. Niceness is appearance of. We don't walk in appearance of. We get bound up when we do that. We get bound up when we walk in appearance of. And so we have to be very careful from that. Very careful. Okay? A mindset of Christ has benefits. We have to know what our benefits are. How do they work? participating in the transformation by the renewing of our mind, participation by belief, engagement, study. We study, we do. So we're not just hearers of the word, we are doers as well. And we share. Our benefits are the Holy Spirit, divine protection with the Lord God of hosts, the heavenly realm, ministering spirits. The Holy Spirit is oxygen to our living. We don't just exist, we live. For the vine gives its branches oxygen, strength, and the capability to grow. And so I'm going to leave you with this scripture. And so we'll get it even deeper with possessed and affected. So next week we'll still be on that, but we'll bring another stronghold. And we'll go deeper with possession versus affected, because even the word of God talks about a couple that was just affected by the demons. But I leave you with this scripture, Hosanna 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou should be no priest to me, since thou having forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. We bind up the work of darkness in the name of Jesus. Darkness, we bind up sickness and poverty and lack of fear. We have the authority to loose from the bloodline curses, evil inheritance, familiar spirits, and condemnation. And so now that I have in with the ministry of the word, I want to leave and finish with this. Psalms 149:1-9. And it read, praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song and his praise in the assembly of saints. Let Israel rejoice in their maker. Let the children of Zion be joyful in their king. Let them praise his name with the dance. Let them sing praise to him with cymbal and harp. For the Lord take pleasure, hallelujah, in his people. He will beautify the humble with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their mouths, and the two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance on the nations and the promised punishment on the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with chains of iron, to execute on them the written judgment. Dishonor have all his saints. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you for joining us on More Insight with part two of Spiritually Minded is Life in Peace. Although we did not finish up Stronghold versus Strong Man and Possession versus Affected, we will continue in the name of Jesus. May God continue to bless you, keep you, and all that are connected to you. I thank you for joining us tonight. Peace be unto you. Until next week, God bless. Good night.